Blog Talk Radio.
Kyrie Bill, welcome to the Jasar's Love Show. My name is Isaiah. I have the privilege of introducing the host. You know her. She's my favorite person. Will you please join me in welcoming my grandmother, Mama Jahi?
Jumbo, and thank you, Isaiah, another time for you to just welcome me to the show. I just thank you so much. Thank you for introducing me. And I just thank the Creator for another day. It just so happens that where I live at, the sun is shining, the temperatures are warming up. But you know what? No matter what the weather is, it's always a good day. And as Les Brown says, any day above ground is a good day. If you can look up, get up. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to especially thank the 29,642 viewers for supporting and coming in and allowing us to share our views and experiences through Home-Based Business 101 and the Jasar's Love Show. Well, I'm going to just kick it off to a good start today. The topic on the Jasar's Love Show, and as you know, Jasar means audacious love. The topic is persistence. Well, you know, you're in your business, whether it is a brick-and-mortar home-based business like the one that I have with my dancing theater, or whether it is network marketing. Once you have discovered your dream, you have a vision, you've got your plan, you've got your goals, you're starting to put things together, you've opened the door to your business, the shingle is up, the word is out, and you're actually in the midst of doing what you call business, you're going to get hit, wow, slam dunk with challenges, disappointments. Budget isn't coming through the way you want it to. You find yourself working, operating on a very, very low to zero budget. Ooh, what happens if can't get all the bills paid and electricity goes off? Oh, yeah, you thought I wasn't going to talk about that, huh? Hey, these things happen in businesses all the time for all kinds of reasons. Now, you know, we know that a lot of businesses are undercapitalized, especially the ones that are brick and mortar. Thank goodness for the network marketing businesses. Usually there's not a lot of overhead and down payments and things that you necessarily have to spend in those businesses. Or there are other creative ways of being able to jumpstart those businesses. But the bottom line is there is going to come a day when there are going to be some type of challenges, disappointments. You're not getting those customers coming in the way you really want. You just kind of can't figure out, you know, what's going on. I remember looking up one time, and I had, like, one little girl in my dance class because the community shifted. And, see, sometimes we don't even realize that there are things that are going to happen that you have nothing to do with, no real control over. For whatever reason, a majority of the dancers that I had at a certain time were moving out of the community. A total shift. And then sometimes it has to do with things that may have happened politically way, 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 way up and out of, you know, your realm of being able to know that some type of decision was made in housing or something was going on with the electricity bills of a certain neighborhood. You don't even know why. All of a sudden, hundreds of people are moving at the exact time. But irregardless to what is happening, you got to be able to jump real quick and put that thinking cap on. And you really, really, really have to get out there and get back into doing what you have to do. And that means that you have to persist. You have to have some persistence. You're going to have some backbone. You're going to have some strength. And you're really, really, really going to have to love what you're doing anyway. You have to see the point in it, the reason. Why am I doing this? You have to be driven. It has to be, as Napoleon Hill says, a burning desire. See, if it never was a burning desire anyway, then you're going to find it pretty hard to have the faith to keep it going and to find a way to be persistent. And I'm real excited because one of the people that is a friend of mine in business and a friend of mine in my personal life is Ruth Bradford and I, along with another friend, we just got through reading about being persistent. And we may talk about that a little later in another one of our discussions, but it is really an eye-opening, especially if you have been being persistent. You've been thinking to yourself, oh, I keep going at this and I keep going at this, and it's improving, but it sure is taking a while. Well, the point is, if you're being persistent and using a specific technique and something that you're doing, check the results. And if it's starting to give you some results, you may want to continue to be persistent. Now, sometimes you have to reevaluate the method that you're using. I'll give you an example. I knew for my summer camp, initially starting off, well, one of the things that we had, our camp started in our home. And we were living in Baltimore City, and we had this wonderful summer camp in our home. And we had, for the first week or 2 weeks, about 8 or 9 children. And they came from the school, which was across the street from where we lived. And we began to realize, well, we could, had a capacity for maybe about 8 more, because it was being done in my home. I didn't want to make it over capacity for the type of activity that I was trying to provide. So we ended up, before that month was out, within 3 weeks, getting 16 children. And that went fine for the couple of years that I actually held a summer camp in my home. And we got blessed with a larger space, with a 9,000-square-foot space, no real overhead. Okay, so this is great, right? You know, you can really make a profit out of that. So we got there to this humongous space, and we ended up with like 150 children. Well, that sounds great to everybody on the other end of this line, going from 18 to 150 children. But now, you know, you have to have staff for 150 children, unless you just are not a responsible person. And some people are not. Let's be real. Some people are not responsible. But, you know, I do have a sense of responsibility. So seeing how these numbers were growing, I began to, you know, make sure that I brought in, hired, evaluate, you know, interviewed people. And some of them I already knew. They were teachers from the school system or TAs, people who I had a good relationship with. And I was just blessed, my husband and I, that these people came in at, you know, at a call of, you know, like a couple of nights ahead of time and said, look, we're going to be there. We're going to go through some training real quick and get ready for this. And I'm going to tell you, you talk about a hot summer and a long summer with those 150 children. We were busy. We went from 18 in our home to a building where we had like 150. Well, we learned a lot from that. We learned that sometimes more is not always good. So we got it down to about 50 children after the first 2 years of having it be 150. Then we cut it back to like 100. Then we cut it back to like 75. Then we got down to like, hey, having about 50 children works well for staff, for the space, even though we had a large space. But we really utilized all of that space, and we wanted the children to not feel crowded. So you really have a lot of things that you have to keep in mind. So just wanted to share with you that you have to be innovative. You have to be thinking. You have to not get too excited. You have to really pay attention to what's going on, but you have to be persistent in your thinking of how to deal with situations. So then you get comfortable. Oh, wow, you know, I got these 50 children coming in. This is great. This is wonderful. Wow. But if you don't advertise the next year, you can get in for a little surprise and end up with like 15 children. Well, you've hired the same exact staff, but if you've only had 15 children and a year before you had 50 to 75, then you're not bringing in the same amount of money unless you're overcharging these 15 little sweethearts that their parents have sent them, you know, to your camp. So therefore, you have to rethink again. Oh, my goodness. Okay, what is it that I did wrong? Why is it they didn't come back? They didn't like my camp? No, it wasn't that they didn't like it. You forgot to advertise. I forgot to get out and make sure that they knew that this camp was going to exist again. As soon as I got out and did what I was supposed to do, I got some of them back. But that was a rough summer because we only got up to like maybe 20, 25 children. Still had the same staff. So it was a stretch. Everything was tight. We didn't really have any type of profit. We just able to just pay the staff. My husband and I were like, oh, man, we paid the staff, but we didn't have any money hardly left for ourselves. That has to do with projecting. We talk about these type of things, doing some investigative work, really forecasting and paying attention. Those things that we actually do learn in business class, you know, business administration and business management 101 that we hate. And I remember being one of those people that hated it, that type of information, because it was just like all the book learning. But I'm going to tell you something. You really need it because when you're faced with it right then and there, you have to know how to deal with it. And you have to be able to identify what is happening in your business, something that you did wrong. It wasn't terrible. It's just that you were not on top of things. I was not on top of things. So now I had to get back on top of things. And that's what I want you to know, is that in your business, you have to stay on top of things. You have to want to be the best that you can be. I am really serious about that. You can't go around fooling people. Oh, I'm just doing this. I make me some money. I'll make me some quick money. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. This is all about me making money. I'm going to tell you, people can smell you out. They can see what you're about. They surely can. It may not happen the first year, but somewhere down the line, people will be able to say, you know what? This person doesn't even care whether they're open on time or not. You know? Or they don't even care what their employees say to me. Or they don't even care that their product, they sent me a box and it had a hole in it. Or anything that you're not doing appropriately. Or they didn't even care that the dancers couldn't even dance after I paid for them to go to class all year long. Now, people get upset with that. They expect good quality. They expect, if you said your place is going to be open at 9 in the morning, they expect it to be open at 9 in the morning. We don't know where people are rushing off to. You know how you feel when you get to Dunkin' Donuts or any of those places and they're not open. You want that cup of Java and that donut that we may not need to have, but you want it, right? And so the point is, you know how you feel when they're not open. You know how you feel when that place that has that egg sandwich with the bacon on it. You know how you feel when it's not open and they're open all the time. It's like, how come they're not open? And you really know how you feel when it becomes a habit. You stop going there. You tell your friends, you know, I went to so-and-so. They have not been open. I don't understand what's going on. And you even talk to them and say, you know, how come y'all weren't open on time? And they give you some flimsy excuse. And it may be a really honest excuse, but hey, it's not working for you. So you call your friend up and you say, hey, where do you go get your egg sandwich with the bacon on it? And they tell you. And so that person picks up all of your business and everybody that you happen to spread the word to, and therefore there's a business going down the drain because they weren't open on time. Being open on time is being persistent, being persistently open on time. So it means all these different things. So it's a lot of things that we have to keep in mind in our businesses, whether, like I said, you could have a flower business. Your home-based business could be flowers. It's not going to do you any good or anybody any good every time somebody comes to get a flower and you have an excuse. My order hasn't come in yet. I overslept. Whatever your excuse is, at some point in time we have to realize, wait a minute, I'm not up to par. I don't have my things ready when the people come to get them. Maybe you told them it was going to be ready sooner than you were capable of making it ready. That could be understandable. So therefore, you may have to say, I am overbooked. I can't do this. And they may end up telling you, oh, you know, I don't need it on Tuesday. I really don't need it till Thursday. Then you could say, oh, well, hey, I could get that ready for you by Thursday. So only take what you know you can do. If you can't do it, don't put yourself out there and then you can't deliver. That's the worst thing that we can do. And that's why I'm so grateful for emails and the phone. Pick up the phone and call someone and let them know, is there any way possible that this can be sent to you at another time? Or, like I said, ahead of time, just tell them, I'm actually able to deliver this on Thursday. We'll just work on Thursday. And then, of course, you know, we have to do whatever we have to do behind the scenes to make that happen, whether it means getting Cousin JoJo in to help make it happen, you know, Aunt Desi. You know, I remember we had to go get my husband's aunt. Thank God she came in and she ran the kitchen for our winter program. It was a motivational, kick your money off with some motivational tips from Jahi. You came in, you got a breakfast for a dollar, and he had his aunt, her name was Gramps, even though she was his aunt, in there. She was in there, you know, with the pancakes, with the grits, with the waffles, with the home fried potatoes to make it interesting, to make the breakfast really tasty. Having one person concentrate on the food while he did the motivational piece. As children came in to go off to school, and the parents used to come in too sometimes. So you have to be innovative. But in order to be innovative, you have to be persistent at wanting to be innovative. So it all kind of falls back on the same thing. And as I said before, you're going to have those moments when you're going to be challenged. There are going to be some challenging things that's going to happen. You know, I remember, you know, we had most of our summers were sunny and bright, and every time we planned a trip, we hit that trip right on the mark. And then after, I think we had like 7 years of like being really comfortable with, wow, you know, every time we plan a hike or a trip, we had great weather. And then we got the summer of the rain. Now, those people who know how you run anything dealing with children and you have trips, that's about it for your trip, unless it's an indoor trip, you know, getting them into museums. But even with that, there's that part, you know, from the bus to getting into where you're going, and usually there's time that you spend outside. Well, I had to really, really, really rearrange almost an entire summer on a, you know, it was like on a weekly basis to keep it still exciting and interesting for those children, because every time they wanted to go swimming, they couldn't. So what did I have to do? Eventually, I had to get an indoor pool. I had to go, I didn't buy an indoor pool, but I had to go find a resource where I could use an indoor pool, which means that, you know, in my contractual relationship with the place that had the outdoor pool, I had to renegotiate that. But you have to be able to do these things. And they understood, how are you going to use an outdoor pool if it's raining and there's no shelter? So they understood that everybody that was using that pool would have to find another resource. But it was my responsibility to make sure that I could still keep that activity for my children and all the other different things that we had going on. You know, we're going to go out in the field every day and play. So I had to make sure that they had more playtime indoors and that some of those things were still physical activities where I could move things aside. They could still run and play. That didn't mean that they would just have to sit down because we can't go outside today. We can't get on the swings. I had to think, and I had to think about what makes these children happy, not what will make me happy, because they're not there to make me happy. I'm there to make them happy. So it had to be, you know, you and a lot of people, you need to really know that, too. If I have any daycare providers out there, hello. It is not about what makes you happy. It's about what makes those children happy within reason. In other words, we know that if you enjoy looking at a soap opera, that's not what their parents pay for them to be there for. So then you're going to have to persistently get a better way of thinking. And that is, I have children in my care. So why don't I persistently look for good programs that are for children, good activities that are for children? Because while their parents have them here, they have them here so they could be doing things that children do that are, you know, age appropriate and that are going to help their children be better, help them learn a little something while they're here. And sometimes, you know, we forget what is the purpose and what is the expectations of the type of business that we run. We really, sometimes we do forget that. And I do want to mention that because I have seen that. I'm quite sure some of you parents out there have pulled your children out of daycare because of that reason, that the people haven't even thought about what in the world they're doing. They're persistently keeping a negative attitude, or they're persistently deciding to do what they want to do. So, you know, sometimes people are persistently doing the wrong thing. So you have to be persistent in doing the right thing, something that's positive. I'm going to take a minute to do a station break, and I want to let everybody know that you are listening to Blog Talk Radio, Home-Based Business 101. Created by Sitawi Jahi, my other half, who is the founder of Homebase 101. I want to again thank the 29,642 people who have been supporting the show. We really thank you so very much. And again, our topic is persistence, and this is the Jasari's Love Show, which you can catch the show every Friday at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I believe it's 9 o'clock in Central Time. And just really, really excited to be here. We also have a couple of more shows. When you look on the on our schedule, you'll see the Ruth Bradford Show. Please check that show out. You'll also see the Gospel of Working from Home. And you'll also see a show by Gail Walker called The New Yorker. And just check your schedule for the times for those particular shows. If you do choose to call in, the number is 1-646-595-4222. And basically, I don't take a lot of comments, but the chat room is open, and I want to welcome and thank everybody who is in the chat room who may have made a comment in the chat room. We do appreciate that. And so, you know, it's just really, really, really glad. I'm really glad to be able to be here to share with you what it is that that I find to be important, and that is one of the things that has kept me going in the business that I've had, and that is being persistent. And another thing is that, you know, depending on specifically why you went in business, and most people go in business because they want to make money. And my movement, Celebrity Performing Arts Company business, it really was not about the money. Actually, when I was doing that business, I had a regular full-time job. I used to work for the Social Security Administration. So money was just okay, you know, I was getting paid okay. At first I started out was single anyway, then I got married, then got a divorce and got remarried. But anyway, all of that, the point is that it was a business that I just loved to do. It had started as a hobby, and then it developed into a business. And I began to understand, you know, business, you are supposed to make money. And so when I no longer had my job at the Social Security Administration, because I decided I didn't want to stay there, I really wanted to just do things where I would be in business for myself. I realized that, wait a minute, you got to make some money so that you can pay bills, because just because you left the Social Security Administration doesn't mean the bills are going to stop. You know, your rent has to be paid, or your mortgage, your telephone and gas and electric, and you've got to eat, you know, and there's some clothes you'd like to be able to wear and some other activities that I wanted to do, and I had a daughter. And I'll be talking more about those type of sacrifices in another show. But the main thing is that I had to realize that I had to now persistently and consistently bring in enough money to take care of those things. And then, of course, when me and my husband and I met, we really developed this into a bigger business. And together, you know, we kind of struggled with that. The fact that we just loved what we were doing, we did it every day. In the summer, we had summer camp Monday through Friday. We opened as early as 6:30 in the morning. We were persistent. We were consistent. We were on time. And we didn't close our doors till 7 at night, and sometimes a little later, because sometimes every now and then someone got picked up later than what we wanted. But all in all, what we found out is that when we were persistent, excuse me, we were able to grow that particular business. And I also know that there are some spiritual laws that affect what's going on. And also there's some things that I probably was doing in that business that are paying off of me now or will pay off of me later. And that is a relationship that I had with some of those children who were in my camp, you know, when they were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and just growing up to become 17, 18, and 19 years old. Now they're in their 20s, a lot of them. And my relationship with them now, because I did a good job with them then. They knew that I was a trustworthy person. They enjoyed being around me. I enjoyed being around them. They learned how to dance. They learned how to do theater. They learned how to be very confident in anything that they wanted to do, and they knew that I always, you know, praised them and gave them confidence in their various achievements. And so that persistence in the way that you behave, consistency and being persistent, is very, very, very important. I was persistent in having practice every day with the dance group, and on Saturday, they could pretty much, you know, depend on the fact that we were going to be in full-fledged dance routines and things like that. And the same thing with the theater component. I was very persistent. And in my network marketing business, it's the exact same thing. You know, whether or not I have a flyer or I don't have a flyer, I'm out there talking to people, because one thing that I do have, I have been blessed with a mouth, and I can open it up and speak to people, and I have a pen and pad, and I can write their phone number down. I'm persistently doing that. So irregardless of the things that I may run out of, as I built my business, or as, you know, things come in, and you maybe there was some flyers I was supposed to get, or business cards, I didn't get them on time, but I still have to be innovative, and I have to be persistent and still being out there. So that's just, you know, another thing that we have to, you know, really pay attention to. If I set up, I'm quite sure you all do the PowerPoint presentations. I remember one time one of the people came here to the Rocky Mountain area, and the electricity where he was plugging things in and just wasn't working on that side of the wall. Nowhere in that room, actually. The lights were on, but the electricity wasn't working. So the PowerPoint presentation couldn't be done. Huh, this young man, his name's Steve Mason, he went on and did it anyway. He did the presentation without it. As us dancers say, I can dance without any music. Yeah, he can do a presentation without a PowerPoint piece. The PowerPoint makes it nice. It makes it glossy. It makes it bigger than life. And really emphasize what you want. But if you're confident with what you're doing and you've really studied hard at what you're doing, you can do it even if you don't have the things that you're used to working with. In my case, I had a situation where the car broke down. And I've gone quite a while, actually, without the use of my car, because I've just got to put some things together to get it done. But so what? I live in a city where they have a bus, for crying out loud. Subways, people, get on them, use them, get where you got to go. Thank God that you have feet. And I have people that are in wheelchairs that listen to this here. And those of you who know me and know my daughter, she's in a wheelchair. That doesn't stop her. She just rolls where she's got to go. She makes her appointments so that the bus can pick her up on time. And she goes where she has to go. And thank God she still has a voice. And she says what she has to say. Thank goodness. That's called being persistent. We can't let things like your regular comfortable transportation hold you back. And then when you get where you got to go, in my case, in my small city, at the end of the day, the buses don't run after six. So what I do is I tell people ahead of time, you know, once I get there, I'm going to need a ride. I appreciate if somebody would give me a ride back. And you know what they all said? Because people have such good hearts. Sister, that's something you don't have to worry about. You went through the effort to get here. One of us is going to give you a ride. I mean, four or five of us are going to offer you a ride. So, people, open up your mouth. Be persistent. Be consistent. Be dedicated. Dream your dream. Don't be afraid to take the challenges. Don't let those challenges make you feel bad or keep you from going ahead. You're going to feel bad for a little bit, but let those challenges push you forward by being persistent in what it is that you want to do. And people are going to tell you no, and people are not going to show up sometime, but if you show up for you, that's what's going to be the most important thing. Make sure you are showing up for you. I know everybody on this line that had the day that you opened up your door and nobody was out there. You looked in your mailbox and nothing was in there. But you know when you did it 2 or 3 weeks later, somebody was there and something was in that mailbox. So with that said, hey, people, it's your time. It's my time. It's our time to be persistent and be successful. I want to thank you. This is the Just Stars Love Show. It's been a pleasure being here to speak with you. And again, I thank the Creator for another day. And let's take advantage of the fact of that blessing. It's my time. Hope to see you tonight for the Jasari's Love Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Central Time for It's All About Love. Thank you. Same place, same station.
We hope you enjoyed this Success Songs original composition. For music and words that create powerful moments in your day, go to successsongs.com and hear life from a higher vibration.